We thank you for the gift of your holy word. May it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path and strength to our lives. Let your Holy Spirit take charge, Lord. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. We were talking about God's love, and I was going over Ephesians because that's what we are coming from, but we're talking about God's love from the very beginning of time.
Yeah.
And in Ephesians, it says, I just want to read this part. It's Ephesians 3, 16 through 19, but I just want to read this part because it says, with all of your people, they will have the power to understand that the love of the anointed is infinitely long, wide, high, and deep, surpassing everything anyone previously experienced. God, may your fullness flood through their entire beings. Infinitely long. So to me, there's no end. Infinitely wide. No end. High and deep, no end. God's love, there's no end to it. Amen. Okay, so last week we had talked about how God created the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in it, all in 6 days, and how he saw that everything was good. He also created male and female in his image and likeness. He created them. What is so powerful is how he created them. When you go back and read the story, especially for me in the voice, it just opens your eyes up to really see and kind of feel what God did. You weren't there, but it can give you a good picture of what happened. The voice said he scooped up dirt out of the ground. I'm just like, wow. He scooped up the dirt out of the ground, sculpted it into shape of what became man. And this gets me too. And with his very breath, he breathed life into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. That is a lot to kind of comprehend to me. I was like, that's amazing. Only God could do something like that. I mean, scooped up the dirt and formed him. I'm like, only God. And that's why I'm like, how do people not realize this? We didn't come from no apes. God started it all from the dirt of the ground. And, you know, I believe that God and Adam had great fellowship because God allowed him to name every animal and every beast on the earth and the air, as well as all the fish in the sea. And then when he planted the Garden of Eden, he placed Adam there and told him to take care of it, and he could eat there from every tree except one, which was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And see, God is a God of specifics. He was very specific. He told him it was in the center of the garden. I mean, he's very specific about what he wants done. And he would tell Adam what would happen if he did eat from it. So after God told him this, God realized, though, it's not good for Adam to be alone. See, our God is something. He's awesome. Because if you look at it, him and Adam could have fellowshipped and went on about their business, didn't have to think about anybody. But God, his thought process is so far beyond ours. He said, it's not good for Adam to be alone. Yeah. And we know that God is the determining factor of what is good and what's not good. Uh-huh. And he said that he would provide a companion who was perfectly suited for him. So he put, now this was another thing that took me out, y'all. I was like, because you read again, and you know, he put Adam in a deep sleep. So I said, well, you know, God, you performed the first surgery, and he didn't even need no anesthesia. All right, all right. And guess what? When he woke up, he wasn't in no pain. So he took a rib from his side, and he formed a woman from that rib and presented her to him. Mm-hmm. Now, This is what I'm going to read. Genesis. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I start and I forget to always give out the word, y'all. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
So here we go. Genesis 2, 23 and 24, page 4. Genesis 3, 1 through 11, page 4 and 5.
Genesis 3, 1 through 11?
Yes. And of course, a very one that we all know so well, John 3:16, page 1292. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Romans 5 and 8, page 1378. Titus 3, verses 4 and 5, page 1477.
1477.
Correct. 1 John 4 and 16, page 1516. And that's in the Voice, because I don't know if everybody has a Voice Bible, but this is coming from the Voice Bible.
4 and what?
16.
15,
16? No. 1 John 4, verse 16. Page 15, 16. Yes. Yes, sorry about that. And Isaiah 49, 15 and 16, verses 15 and 16, page 853. Okay.
Okay.
Anybody need anything? Everybody got them? All right, so I'm going to start reading Genesis 2 and 23 and 24, and it says, Adam said, at last, a suitable companion, a perfect partner, bone from my bones, flesh from my flesh. I will call this one woman as an eternal reminder that she was taken out of man. Now, this is the reason a man leaves his father and his mother and is united with his wife. And the two become one flesh. In those days, the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed.
No.
Amen?
Okay.
All right. All right. Here we go. Genesis 3, 1 to 11. And I have to read the whole thing because this is what we're going to talk about. Of all the wild creatures the Eternal had created, the serpent was the craft. Serpent to the woman. Is it true that God has forbidden you to eat fruits from the tree of the garden? She says, no, serpent. God said we are free to eat the fruit from trees in the garden. We are granted access to any variety and all amounts of fruit with one exception. The fruit from the tree found in the center of the garden. God instructed us not to eat or touch the fruit of that tree or we would die. Die? No, you won't die. God is playing games with you. The truth is that God knows the day you eat that fruit from the tree, you will awaken something powerful in you and become like him, possessing knowledge of both good and evil. The woman approached the tree, eyed its fruit, and coveted its mouth-watering, wisdom-granting beauty. She plucked the fruit from the tree and ate. Then she offered the fruit to her husband who was close by, and he ate as well. Suddenly, their eyes were opened to a reality previously unknown. For the first time, they sensed their vulnerability and rushed to hide their naked bodies, stitching fig leaves into crude loincloths. Then they heard the sound of the eternal God walking in the cool, misty shadows of the garden. The man and his wife took cover among the trees and hid from the eternal God. God, he said to Adam, where are you? And Adam said, when I heard the sound of you coming in the garden, I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid from you. Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree in the center of the garden? The one I commanded you not to eat from. And we're going to stop right there. Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree in the center of the garden? the one I commanded you not to eat from. Now, you know, as I continue to read this, remember now, I said God gave Adam instructions on where that tree was. He didn't give it to Eve. He didn't give it to her. She ate that apple, and he was right there when she was doing it, because I was reading it again, and another version says he was right beside her. One of the, I forget what version, was right beside her, and he ate. And it was, I just thought about that. I was like, he knew better. But this is how we're going to find out about God's unconditional love. According to the Bible, God's love is unconditional toward humanity. God created humanity for his divine purposes. In the Garden of Eden, the first humans, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God's one command and committed the first sin. They broke their unity and fellowship with him. God judged humanity for this sin, but this did not end his love for them. He continued to care for Adam and Eve and their descendants. God showed his love through provision after man's fall. When Adam and Eve sinned, it was only then that they discovered that they were naked. Because of sin, God declared his punishment to the serpent, Eve, and Adam. But even after sinning, God himself provided clothing to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve. God still showed his care to them even after their rebellion. How long Adam and Eve enjoyed their relationship with God without sin is unspecified. I wish I knew, because I was wondering. I said to myself, wow, how long were they in fellowship with God before this happened? But for a time, they walked with God in perfection, uninhibited, freely communicating with him, free of fear, no sin, no sickness, no evil, no distractions. I was like, wow. Man, daily, Adam and Eve walked with God until the desire for pleasure overcame their love for God. This break in the relationship required redemption. They both exercised their freedom of choice. And when they chose to believe Satan's word over that of the Creator, they chose to establish a relationship more with the enemy. And now there was a huge fracture in their relationship with God. So because of their sin, we were all born with a sin nature that separated us at birth from God. However, he never diminished his love for us. He established his plan of redemption from the beginning of time. And this plan was designed by him to save our lives for all eternity. His unconditional and intense love for fallen humanity motivated the plan of salvation. Now, God's unconditional love does not mean that God loves everything we do, but rather his love is so intense that he loves us no matter how vile, no matter how despicable we may be in the eyes of humanity. So you're telling me that's some kind of love, because I was like, I don't know if I could do that, but I know I'm not God. And I know he's above all. He has authority over each and every one of us. So, John 3:16 from the Amplified, it says, "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish, but have eternal life." That is more than amazing. That kind of love, more than we could ever think. Romans 5:8. But think about this. While we were wasting our lives in sin, God revealed his powerful love to us in a tangible way. The anointed one died for us. We were wasting our lives, I remember I was out there. I remember what I used to do, and I said, Lord, you could have took me away from here anytime you wanted to. But he didn't. He loved me enough to give me time to say, I accept you, Lord. I want you in my life. I want you to change me, God. God's love motivates his compassion and mercy. His love brings transformation. Salvation is based on God's fervent love and mercy. It's nothing we could do. We're not worthy of nothing. It's just his love. That does it all. Titus 3, 4, and 5. But then something happened. God, our Savior, in his overpowering love and kindness for humankind entered our world. He came to save us. It's not that we earned it doing good works or righteous deeds. He came because he's merciful. He brought us out of our old ways of living into a new beginning through the washing of regeneration. And he made us completely new through the Holy Spirit, who was poured out in abundance through Jesus the Anointed, our Savior. Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Woo!
You.
Okay. God's love is revealed in that he created us in his own image and likeness. Remember when he said, let us make man in our own image and likeness. Wow. He wanted us to be in his own image. He could have done anything. I even said, he could have, when Adam and Eve sinned, he could have said, you know what? Do over. Y'all are gone. I'm doing it again. But he didn't. He loved that much. But when he made us, he gave us freedom of choice. We can choose to accept and embrace God's love, or we can choose to ignore it and reject it. We were formed from the dust, but because of God's great love for us, we received his breath of life with its essential and uniqueness. This life gives us the capacity and desire to be in relationship and have fellowship and love in return. To live in God is to live in his love. 1 John 4:16. We have experienced and we have entrusted our lives to the love of God in us. God is love. Anyone who lives faithfully in love also lives faithfully in God, and God lives in him. Our relationship with God is a very intimate one. It's a sacred bond that we have with him. And the only way to get to know him intimately is we got to be in his word. We got to find out what he's like. We got to find out what he wants from us. Instead of always what we want from him, find out what he wants from us and what he wants us to do. We open the door. When we do that, we open the door for him to shower us with blessings. Blessings beyond measure. Because we're being obedient and we're following what he wants us to do. When we get to know him intimately, it brings a transformation, a change in our behavior, our desires, our identity. We can identify with him, and we are secure in him. The bond is so strong that God says a nursing mother may abandon her child, but he will never abandon us. Isaiah 49 and 15. Is it possible for a mother, however disappointed, however hurt, to forget her nursing child? Can she feel nothing for the baby she carried in birth? Even if she could, I, God, will never forget you. Look here. I have made you a part of me, written you on the palm of my hand. Your city walls are always on my mind, always my concern. In closing, God's love is not abstract, nothing theoretical. It's truly real. He gave up someone so precious to him and willing to become a sin offering for us. Think of it. God loves us just as much as he loves his son. It is a love that goes far beyond what we can comprehend. We simply do not have the capacity to understand his amazing love for us. When we fall short or fail to obey, his love never changes and his love never fails. If any man, woman, boy or girl wants to begin a new life in Christ and abide in his love, all you have to do is humbly repent of your sin. In other words, let go of the life that you're living and ask him to come into your heart and sincerely mean it. He will be waiting with open arms. As God gives you newness of life, you will experience his love being poured out into you by the Holy Spirit to transform you from the inside out. New creation. Remember that? Any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are new. Jesus is the only one who loves us to that degree and makes it possible to live a life free from guilt, shame, and the bondage of sin. Amen? Amen. Ooh, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the great love that you have bestowed upon us. Your love is immeasurable and incomparable, and there is none like it anywhere. You gave your only begotten Son as a sacrifice for us, and he willingly went to the cross on our behalf. Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe so that we could be forgiven and have victory over sin, death, and the grave. Father, we just find ourselves speechless trying to find the words to thank you for all you've done. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.